Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Just when I thought I could have a relaxing Sunday, put my daughter down to sleep, grab myself some popcorn, watching a movie, and boom, Adam Schefter ruins all of that with the breaking news that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to sign Russell Wilson away from the Denver Broncos. And the Broncos thrilled about it as they want to get rid of Russell Wilson. Vet minimum contract, $1.2 mil. Come aboard to either compete or maybe be the guy over Kenny Pickett with the Steelers. Not really a characteristic move to the Steelers to bring in a big name like that, but based on the situation Russell Wilson is in, vet minimum team wants to get rid of him, don't have to pay most of the money. It seemingly worked out. I am Mike Osti, and this is another episode of Mic Drop, made possible by the Believe Network and available everywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google Play, TuneIn, etc. And I am going to have a conversation on this show with somebody that is in Colorado media and knows a little bit about Russell Wilson and how he actually played with the Broncos, because that's very polarizing right now. And my colleagues and I are now in the midst of debating what kind of move this is for the Steelers. Is this a good one because the risk is so low? Is it good because of his resume and better than Pickett? Or is he not even better and this is a horrible move and he's going to be a locker room cancer? And it doesn't matter what you're paying. There's a reason why the Broncos are willing to go in cap hell to get rid of Russell Wilson. Or is that just some crazy false narrative? We'll get into all of that. And I'm going to talk with Mike Sanford about Russell Wilson and everything involved in the Broncos tenure and now him becoming a Pittsburgh Steeler. Mike is a former Boise State quarterback. You may remember him from those early 2000 teams. Also a longtime coach throughout the college ranks and a host with Altitude Sports Radio up in that Colorado market, also involved with Denver NBC9. So without any further ado, I will bring on Mike. Also met Mike recently at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. So Mike, happy to be talking to with you now, and hope you had a good trip home from Indy and had a nice trip down there in Indy. We met at the Combine watching Xavier Worthy set a record and cracking some jokes maybe as well.
That was a lot of fun, wasn't it, Mike? It was great. Yeah. We had an unbelievable just collection of personalities watching not only the 40s being run, but also the quarterbacks. I mean, it was like team JJ McCarthy. I was clearly team Michael Penix Jr. And I don't think after that combine, many people were team Bo Nix, just from my own personal opinion, from being there live on the ground.
Yeah. And there were maybe some that also were team Keaton Slovis for the brief appearance as well, as he was tearing it up
as he was dropping
the event that we were. Yeah. As we were watching,
key dimes left and right.
He was dropping some dimes, and the second someone would praise him, misfire. So it was kind of all over the place with Keaton Slovis there. He also was fastest as he ran very fast on his 40 time. So yeah, we had a nice collection of talent there, dropping our analysis and cracking jokes. And I'm sure Mike probably was sitting there with a mutual friend of ours, and Eric Froton with NBC Sports. And then all of a sudden heard this comment from another Mike. Eric turns and talks to Mike, and like, man, like, who's dropping the fastest joke? That was me. And then it works out here because we have a connection here with Russell Wilson now becoming a Pittsburgh Steeler. So happy we were able to connect for sure. Enjoyed hanging out with you. And then it works out to be able to talk about this. So I do want to jump in. And before we get to how this is going to impact the Steelers and what the Steelers are actually getting, because that perception's all over the place, I kind of want to ask you about Russell Wilson in Denver. And before we get to the Sean Payton era, your initial thoughts of him becoming a Bronco. Some are now calling it the worst trade in NFL history. And normally that's prisoner of the moment, but you could argue it, honestly, based on the cap hell they're now in, 9-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, what he was. They didn't get Aaron Rodgers. They landed on Russell. You give up the farm, tons of money, rumors of him having his personal office and alienating teammates and no one liking him there. How much of the narrative that was out there nationally from the Hackett days to the Payton days to him first being there and what that perception was is actually true, what you know about that tenure and what the thought process was of bringing Russell Wilson in to the Broncos when they didn't get Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think you have to look at the old conversation of nature versus nurture as it relates to Russell Wilson and his tenure at the Denver Broncos. Because certainly if you look at the nature of the player, you know, Russell Wilson, the guy's won a Super Bowl and he's been to another, albeit behind a very strong defense at Seattle and in a very good run game with beast mode, Marshawn Lynch doing Marshawn Lynch things. But Russell Wilson was the perfect maestro of that style of play. So I think that there was a label on Russell Wilson coming out of Seattle and maybe even some contract issues that were going on with Seattle. And I would call it maybe some identity of who Russell Wilson saw himself as a quarterback versus what Pete Carroll, you know, kind of how they employed him in their systems of really being hand the football off, naked bootlegs, play action, and then make the second play. Russell Wilson wanted to be a drop back quarterback. He wanted to be in the same conversation as Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, as some of these guys that can slice and dice any defense. And frankly, that's what he sought here in Denver. And he sought it with Nathaniel Hackett, who had just been with Aaron Rodgers. And that's another guy that I think that Russell Wilson saw himself being in that light as an elite thrower of the football from the pocket. Well, that was a disaster. For a lot of reasons. It was big of a disaster as you can imagine. Nathaniel Hackett, who I personally have a lot of respect for as a coach. My dad was a graduate assistant for Paul Hackett, his father. Just being here in Denver.
He's got a lot of crap. Yeah, he got a lot of crap. Even from Sean Payton was dishing some out to Nathaniel Hackett.
Oh, plenty.
So he's the other guy that gets blamed for that not going well with Russ in addition to Russ.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the stuff that happened where Russell was thrown under the bus, maybe because of his own actions. I think that Nathaniel Hackett allowed the inmates to run the asylum. He wasn't the adult in the room that you need to be as an NFL head coach. He allowed for Russell Wilson to have his personal quarterback trainer in the building. He allowed for Russell Wilson to have an office, an actual office, not just the quarterback room, an office on the same floor as the coaches. And frankly, that is a ultimate cart before horse scenario. And it led to a lot of bad publicity in year one of Russell Wilson.
To say the least, and not only bad publicity, but then you couple that with poor play. Because we can debate on how he played in 2023, which I do think is all over the place, and the narrative from 2022 kind of sunk him perception-wise in 2023. We'll get into that later, but 2022, pretty much universally, everyone agrees he did not play well. He even agrees that it was the worst year of his career. Why was he so bad in 2022 for you? Was it the coaching? Was it the system? Was it everything personality-wise that was screwing him? Because even people that think he still sucks know he was better last year than the year before, and the year before was just so catastrophically bad that you would not figure the dip would be that bad that quick, even at his age, but it really was.
Yeah, 2022, I think, was a massive confluence of factors that ultimately led to a just hot garbage of a season for everything related to the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson. You know, you look at the pending massive contract that was coming down the pipe, not in 2022, but that contract's hitting right now in 2024 for this upcoming season. So you had this massive investment. Broncos fans who've been starving for some success at the quarterback position really have had zero since Peyton Manning was a Denver Bronco quarterback that led him to a Super Bowl behind a great defense, of course. But I think that it was a combination of a lot of factors. It was, like you said, Nathaniel Hackett allowing Russell to probably have too much of a role in decision-making for the franchise, too much clout. And then he and Sierra walk in and they're the celebrities of Denver. And frankly, Denver's not that kind of a town. Denver's a very, I think a hardworking blue collar type of a place that likes their stars like Nikola Jokic that just fly under the radar and deliver on a consistent basis. I don't think people from Pittsburgh would necessarily define
Denver. I was going to say,
but if you've been here and you've been in the surrounding area, it really is. Yeah. And that's the kind of area that this is. But I also think that because Russell Wilson had this chip on his shoulder to prove I'm a drop back on time elite passer of a quarterback, he wanted to play in Nathaniel Hackett's system from the Green Bay Packers. Well, that was not exactly any kind of fit whatsoever for Russell Wilson and for the Broncos. And then I think that they had just a complete lack of identity through the entire 2022 season with how they wanted to play offensive football. Did they want to play on schedule? Did they want to run the football? It was a mess. And it led to a midseason firing of Nathaniel Hackett. You know, Russell Wilson had his hands were dirty in all of this. There's no question. But, you know, enter Sean Payton in 2023. And I'd say that the play on the field was different. We can get into that as we get going, Mike.
Yeah, Mike Sanford here joining me, former Boise State quarterback, longtime coach, does some media up there in Denver here on Mic Drop, made possible by Believe and available every podcast. We are talking about Russell Wilson, the same topic everyone else is talking about in Denver and in Pittsburgh. And he did mention the personality not flying in Denver. Maybe that was part of the problem. Similar vibes in Pittsburgh. Blue collar town, obviously. Some could argue Midwest. Some could argue Northeast. It's kind of right in the middle, but it's kind of put up or shut up. They don't love the diva personality. They've dealt with diva stars for sure, but they would much prefer to not have a star dating a celebrity, bringing her around, having your own office. That's not going to work, especially if you're not performing. So that maybe leads to why this could go awry. But a different situation. You're talking about a big money guy coming in with a resume with Denver a couple years ago. This now, maybe he was humbled off of his great talk with Mike Tomlin. So we will see. This might be a different Russ who maybe keeps Sierra away from St. Vincent at training camp, doesn't have his own office. I'm sure he's not getting one with the Rooney family. Might be a different vibe right now. But before we get there, you mentioned Sean Payton being hired by the Broncos. And some have the conspiracy theory I've heard floated out there that Nathaniel Hackett was only hired with the thinking of getting Aaron Rodgers. And then when that didn't happen, they're stuck with him and Russ, and he wasn't ready as a coach. We saw him hired with the Jets to help lure Aaron Rodgers. So whether or not that's true is irrelevant here. They bring in Sean Payton. Obviously, he has a resume. He's getting paid tons of money. Right away, it seemed like him and Russ didn't fit. But there's a lot of mixed reports on whether he was even conspiring to screw over Russell Wilson, whether he didn't want Russell Wilson right away. There are some that said he told Broncos management, "I don't want Russ, and you can have him for 1 year, but I'm going to get him out of here. And if you want me, this is what's going to happen." We did see Russ play kind of better and okay. They were within the playoff race, and then all of a sudden, he's benching Russell Wilson. There were reports that he told, and the Broncos told Russell Wilson that he could play if he's willing to change his contract in the injury clause, which no athlete, you as an athlete, I'm sure would advise him, like, don't do that. Yeah, don't do that. You're lucky to have it. Don't do that. He didn't do that. He then threw it out there. And in the midst of this, he caught a pretty serious tongue lashing from Sean Payton that when either one of them or one of them is put in the Hall of Fame someday, and Payton's going there, Russ probably not, but if he somehow would pick it up and get there, that's going to be replayed forever for both of them. What do you really know about the Sean Payton tenure? How did that really go down? What's true there? Why did that not work? And do you believe that Russell Wilson ever had a chance, or he was sunk from the start because he played better and then got benched and was told to change his contract, which basically tells an athlete, "We want rid of you right now," but he played better.
Mike, I think you started it, that, you know, definition of what happened in the Sean Payton era, you know, with that thought of Nathaniel Hackett coming in to bring Aaron Rodgers. The ownership group was selling, the Bolin family was selling, and they needed to deliver on having a premier quarterback in terms of increasing the perceived value of the franchise and enter the Penner Group. And so Russell Wilson was kind of a lame duck quarterback from the very beginning, even with Nathaniel Hackett. And then the Penner Group goes and they make the next massive move, which is to get the biggest name by far on the market of head coach, which is Sean Payton, and paying him to the tune of, I've heard reports that in his third, fourth, or fifth year of his contract is upwards of $19 million a year, which is absolutely incredible. The numbers that they've invested in the Penner's
head coach.
Yeah, for a coach. I mean, you're looking at Aaron Jones not getting re-signed by the Packers because he wanted $7 million. I'm like, dude, I think Aaron Jones is a little bit more valuable to the Packers than Sean Payton is personally to the Broncos. You know, it's been I'd say that this has been a very divisive period of time in the Broncos fan base, in the history of the fan base here, because you have two alphas, big personalities, big egos. Imagine. Brought in between Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. And frankly, what I was able to ascertain from my perspective, watching all the behind the scenes stuff, watching just reading tea leaves, I would give Russell Wilson a lot of credit in the 2023 year for just putting his head down and working. You didn't see him having any types of meltdowns. You didn't see him throwing any shade in the media. I mean, he was wanting to play the company line with Sean Payton in coming in as his head coach to the best of his ability. Now, on the flip side, I think some of the leaks that happened at the national media level from Sean Payton with regards to Russ needs to stop kissing babies and shaking hands and running for mayor of Denver, I think that was intentional. And that was before Russell even played a game and frankly hadn't done a thing.
Right.
And so
that's my point.
I think, Mike, everybody in this media market and the fan base does believe that this was not a long-term relationship by any means for Sean Payton and his perceived belief in what this franchise needed to do. And I think that the actual play on the field can be broken up into different parts of the season. I believe that the first six games was an absolute debacle, starting out 1-5 for the Denver Broncos. That was the offense that Sean Payton wants to run, which is the quick pass game, throwing the ball over the middle of the field, your basic crosses, shallow crosses, really on schedule type play of a quarterback. And frankly, it was not playing to the strengths of its greatest asset, at least from a fiscal perspective, and that's Russell Wilson. And then you see a 5-game win streak, one of the biggest turnarounds in NFL history, to the point that you get into the playoff conversation. And that was behind the play that I see the Pittsburgh Steelers playing with, which is running the football. And the Broncos at one point during that 5-game win streak, it was a really good run game. It was a combination of Javonte Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin, the rookie, and then Samaje Perine. And they were running the football in that 5-game stretch really effectively. And Sean Payton decided to commit to the run. The defense started playing really well, was getting takeaways.
That's the thing. It looked like he committed to do what's best for that individual season to win there because that was what was working. And then all of a sudden, Rogue pulled out and you're benching Russ and having the reports come out that you're telling him to change a contract. That came off from the outside as a guy basically saying, yeah, we could squeeze in the playoffs doing this and winning 9 or 10 games, but I would prefer to get rid of Russ and build the future than now. It almost comes off like he punted the year to do what he wanted. Now
it was really a strange year, and I think a lot of us in Denver were wondering the same things, Mike. Like, you just went and beat Kansas City for the first time, and it felt like a ding decade since the witch named Patrick Mahomes has showed up in Kansas City. You know, it hadn't been any wins against those Chiefs, and then you go and win on the road against Buffalo in a premier matchup. You beat the Packers at home. I mean, those are three of the teams that played deep into the playoffs, and you beat those three teams.
And
it just felt like, Javonte Williams, it seemed like the tread was running off those tires a little bit towards the end of the year. The run game wasn't as effective. And then it just frankly felt like even the last couple games that preceded Russ's benching, namely against the Patriots, that same formula that the Broncos had been playing with was abandoned. It didn't seem like they were running the football and as committed to the run game. And all of a sudden it's back to, you know, really what Sean Payton wants to do and building this thing in his image. And you can't fully blame him, but I also think that you have to play to the strengths of the assets that you're given and you're dealt in your first year as an NFL head coach at the Broncos. So it was a strange year. This is a very divided fan base. I think that probably the perception in Pittsburgh is that everybody in Denver is just like, get Russ out of here. Sean Payton's our guy. That is not the case. This is a very divided fan base. There's a lot of fans here that think that this thing was doomed from the start, that Sean Payton didn't necessarily want to make this work out for the long term, and that the results are the results as a result of that fractured relationship.
Yeah, talking with Mike Sanford here, former Boise State quarterback and longtime college coach, does some media work in Denver. And we're talking to Russell Wilson here on Mic Drop. And I also will tell you that you have two figures involved in this, which is why this catches so much national fire, too, of Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, that are also very polarizing in their own right, even nationally. Like, anytime I drop a comment about Sean Payton, even on social media, not covering him directly, I'll get messages from both Saints and Bronco fans both ways, telling me I'm right, keep saying it, I want it out there nationally, and then others basically saying, stop saying it or I'm threatening you. Like, there are people that are really ride for Sean Payton, even now that he's with Denver, that were with him with the Saints. So you have that in the midst of this drama, and it almost comes across again that what you're painting the picture of, and what I'm saying here, and what everyone knows kind of occurred, and if you follow the timeline, that Sean Payton probably in his heart of hearts would have preferred last year to be a 5-win year. They weren't good. He can do whatever he wanted, can just rebuild, try different things, and then say, I wasn't supposed to win. Let me try it again in 2024. It's almost like he was inadvertently winning and then didn't, by keeping winning, it would have screwed up his plan. So he kind of put the kibosh in it, whether intentional or otherwise, because he's prioritizing the future, which I admit as a fan, you got it. That probably is why the fans were like, look, I don't care whose side I'm on. We're winning now. You're screwing up winning. That probably is part of the fans' anger, I would guess.
And the anger was, it was almost kind of like they were caught between a, you know, a crap and a fart, if you will. There was a point in time at the 1-5 mark where it's, hey, let's go be in the top three, or definitely, yeah, in the top three in the draft order to go get our franchise quarterback.
Then you
really, Russ competed his tail off, to be honest. Like a lot of what led to those wins was Russ playing the second play and playing it beautifully. I mean, what he did back with
Seattle. That's early days Russ. That was vintage Russ.
Russ. And I think that's a big thing, is that if you commit to the run game, if you play good defense and you allow Russ to be Russ off schedule, I mean, he's a top 15 quarterback, no question, in the National Football League right now. If you try to constrain Russ to being a drop back passer, play on schedule, throw the quick game, you know, intermediate passing game, all West Coast offense principles, and you don't allow Russ to be Russ, then he's a bottom five quarterback. And that's really how the season played out.
Yeah, basically, if you let Russ cook, he can cook. If you don't, then you're going to have him cook something you wouldn't want to eat. That's kind of the situation. Yeah, Mike Sanford here talking. Mike Oste here on Mic Drop, talking Russell Wilson from the Broncos to the Steelers. That kind of is going to take me a little bit to now him being a Steeler. But before I fully get there, you mentioned him and Sean Payton right away. No one thought this is going to be a marriage that's going to last or going to fit. You thought Russ was a bridge quarterback, especially when Sean Payton got there. As a former quarterback yourself and as a former coach yourself, this is where I really want to get your analysis here. Why did you immediately see the Sean Payton hire as, forget personality, Russ cannot be the long-term solution here? You already kind of could foreshadow that Sean Payton was going to try to do something else. Why does Russ not fit what Sean Payton wants to do? Because Sean Payton obviously won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's probably going to get there. An offensive guru is what he's labeled as. But he had Drew Brees for 90% of that success. He thought Taysom Hill was going to be great. Not so much. He did cultivate Tony Romo before Brees, but then Romo was fine afterwards. It was mostly Brees, the Hall of Famer, that was a Pro Bowl before getting to Sean Payton. So there's two sides of Sean Payton. Did he do that? Did he inherit that? How much is a guru of the quarterback position is Sean Payton? But no matter what your thoughts are on him as a guru or not, it didn't feel like him and Russ ever fit each other system-wise, style of play-wise, etc. Why is that?
Well, I think that you nailed it. You nailed it on the head with the whole 90% of his success as an offensive guru came with Drew Brees, who is a generational talent at the position. And right. Drew Brees was not only a very fine thrower of the football, particularly in the short game and intermediate game. Drew Brees was an on-schedule, programmable type of a quarterback. That was his style. And that is not Russell Wilson's style. I think there were some people in the media and the fan base, including myself, that saw that Sean Payton had his greatest levels of success with a shorter quarterback. So you thought that Russell Wilson, shorter quarterback, Drew Brees, shorter quarterback. Yeah, you know, we're reaching and trying to find some positives in this relationship. But at the end of the day, stylistically, those two guys are so different between Russell Wilson and Drew Brees and their style of play. And you can even see it play out. You listen to Drew Brees, who I have the utmost respect for as a human being, as a player. He actually played for my dad at the San Diego Chargers in his, my dad was coaching receivers. So I know Drew and I love Drew, but you could tell from some of his comments that he certainly was going to side with Sean Payton in this whole debate.
That's
his guy, and he's got to stand up for his guy. And I understand that. But I do think that this the fit of how Russ likes to play is so different from what Sean Payton had in his successful era as a coach was really it was all Drew Brees. There's no success, real success, tangible success offensively outside of his time with Drew Brees.
Yeah, and again, to be fair, that's the case for even Bill Walsh. His success was with Joe Montana. Usually
Steve Young.
Yeah, well, Steve Young, but Bill Walsh was kind of gone by that Super Bowl that Steve Young won as the starter. But the point of it is, when you cultivate a quarterback, or you find a quarterback, or you bring in a quarterback that fits your system, you want to ride him out as long as you can. You don't want to just have a different quarterback every 2 years, which is part of why this situation is a little bit kind of confusing, I would say, for the masses, because even though they maybe don't fit together and they weren't the greatest fit as system-wise or in a marriage, personality-wise even, I think personality, probably they didn't fit either. Drew Brees and Sean Payton are probably more similar personality-wise than Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. But in today's NFL, as you know, when you're paying a quarterback as much money as you're paying Russell Wilson, the results are cap hell. Of $80+ million in cap hell, you're paying $39 million still of what Russ is going to make with the Steelers, and you trade things and you move things around to get him. Usually the ownership is like, okay, you may not like the system here, but you're going to have to try to figure this out, and we're not going to cut bait after 1 year and go $80 million cap hell. It was so bad for whatever reason that they're either letting Sean Payton call the shots here.
That's what's going on.
Yeah, it has to be, because this is not a management.
This is a Sean. This was all Sean Payton's move. You know, I mean, he is the king of the castle right now. There's no question. So
for better or worse, that's
You know, even a lame duck general manager and George Payton, which is funny, they have the same last name spelled differently. But even with him being a proven evaluator of college talent. I mean, Sean Payton came in, and it was going to be Sean Payton's decisions regarding, you know, the big ticket items on the roster.
Yeah, and it seems like regardless whether it'll ruin the rest of the roster or not. I mean, this again, from management structure, this is very hard to deal with. But I guess if it's not your guy, it's not your guy. So if you have the wrong quarterback, everything else doesn't matter. I'm sure that's the mentality for Sean Payton too, and you're willing to even take a hit next year to get that right guy in there. And if it's not Russell Wilson, it's not Russell Wilson. Mike Sanford here again, joining me on Mic Drop. I do want to now touch on the future of Russell Wilson, and that is as a Pittsburgh Steeler. He ends up signing with the Steelers, a one-year deal, $1.2 million vet minimum from the Steelers. They always wanted to bring in a veteran quarterback. At least they always were saying they were going to bring in a veteran quarterback. And as much as us in the media, people see Pittsburgh media is probably saying, oh, they're not going to do this, they're not going to do this. I know fans nationally always get bored with us because they're like, they're not going to do anything. They're no fun. That is the way of the Steelers. They really aren't that fun. They traded up at times in drafts, but they don't do things like this for big names. Omar Khan is in there now. So to be fair, this is a new regime, and you have a guy like Russell Wilson with a resume who maybe can get it done based on the second half of the year in what you're describing and how he played there when Russ can cook, that maybe can still be an upgrade or can help you for this next season when you were a playoff team, despite all the mess at QB. What do you think Russ has left in the tank? Because yeah, this is really, really low risk for the Steelers, but they also wouldn't have done this unless they think there's something there and he can help this team. They've not totally given up on Kenny Pickett, but this also looks like this is going to be rough for Kenny Pickett to get back going with the Steelers, and that Russ got to win this job or else then Russ's career is going nowhere.
Before I get into what he has left in the tank, Mike, I'm just going to go to why I thought that Pittsburgh was the perfect scenario for Russell Wilson.
And yeah, there are other teams rumored as well. Right.
Russell Wilson was the perfect team, you know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers in their current situation. I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers being in one of the toughest divisions in all of pro football, the AFC North. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, from my perspective out here in Denver, I follow all of the National Football League fairly closely, obviously with the Denver perspective in mind, and also a Green Bay Packers perspective, because what my old college quarterback that I coached at Utah State, Jordan Love, had a pretty nice season. But
he did. He did. Yeah, no one saw that coming either. Yeah, yeah. And that's the belief that maybe – Okay. I admit I did not. I thought everyone was hyping him up too much. I did not see that coming. I also didn't think you're going to go from Favre to Rodgers to Love, but who knows? But that's also what some thought last year. I will tell you, in Pittsburgh, once they saw Jordan Love cooking and Kenny Pickett looked worse, and yeah, Matt Canada was there and they weren't working, but there were people in Pittsburgh that were then saying the ceiling for Pickett could be Love, but he's just not getting that done. And that goes back to whether or not he really had the value.
Yeah, and you can't compare those two guys. You can't compare.
But that, they get compared a lot here.
If you were to see those two guys side by side in a combine setting throwing the football, it's not even close. It'd be like you and I watching Michael Penix Jr. and the ball ripping out of his hand versus Bo Nix. I mean, it's not even close in terms of velocity, arm strength, being able to make all the throws. I'd say this of why this was a perfect fit from the very beginning. And I called it, Chad Ochocinco called it with the birdie that landed on his shoulder. I was right there at the same time. I didn't have any sources. I just looked at the situation. And I think the situation is this. First off, Mike Tomlin, he loves just the style of play that Russell Wilson played to perfection for the 5-game win streak here in Denver. Run the football, get takeaways on defense, and have one of the best defenses consistently in the National Football League. Even in the AFC North, where Baltimore was the best defense in all of the NFL, you're still looking at the second best defense and very close to being in that same vein with a complete lack of any passing game. And so I think
the Browns are in there too. That's the thing. The Browns defense led them to the postseason too.
They did. But if you look at total points allowed, the Steelers were a better defense than the Browns and the Browns had a better overall offensive attack this year than the Steelers. And that's just a reality. You fired your offensive coordinator midstream. The Browns weren't in that same boat. They have Kevin Stefanski, who's an absolute great offensive play caller. But what I would say, going back to why I think this is a great fit, Mike Tomlin, not only does his style of play represent, that gritty nature, he also saw a situation in Denver where a guy that has been, heralded as one of the top 10 quarterbacks over the last 15 years in pro football.
He was on a Hall of Fame pace, 100%. Before Denver, he was 100% on that pace.
And frankly, I think that Mike Tomlin was watching from afar and seeing this guy that he probably has a lot of respect for, had crossover in different games over the last 15 years, 13 years. He sees that now that Russell Wilson was treated in a certain type of way. What does that create? Well, number one, it creates a humble player. And I do think that the 2023 Russ was vastly humbled from the 2022 Russ that came in and famously said, "Broncos country. Let's ride."
Yeah, it sounds like that's a little, and I even going back to what we talked about of Sean Payton tongue lashing him and that embarrassing scene that'll be out there forever. Russ took it. If that happened a year earlier, he might have took it like a pro.
And you know what I see is that Mike Tomlin Price. You see those clips. If you're an NFL head coach, you have SportsCenter or NFL Network playing in your office. Those clips, and he now sees a quarterback who is on a trajectory to be a no doubter as a Hall of Famer. And now has been humbled, but not only has been humbled, he was treated a sort of way where he's got a massive chip on his shoulder. I'm talking a massive chip on his shoulder.
You would think so.
And don't think that Mike Tomlin doesn't love bringing that into a culture that has been built on having a massive chip on his shoulder. And I also think it's a great fit because these Pittsburgh Steelers that frankly, I'm an offensive guy. I coached the quarterback position. I was a play caller for, 10 plus years in college football. I couldn't watch the Steelers this year because the offense was so brutal to watch throughout the course of the year. And honestly, I couldn't watch the quarterback play. It was disturbing. But even while that was all going on, those Steelers still made the playoffs.
They did.
And now
with Mason Rudolph leading the way from third string career over Mason Rudolph in there.
Yeah. And it was brutal watching him. I know that the wins came and he made a couple throws here and there, but they had to do so much to disguise the deficiencies, both athletically and as passers for those two quarterbacks. I just think that Russell Wilson is a massive, I'm talking massive upgrade in his current form. And I watched it all year.
Right.
And he came out of this season completely healthy, Mike. He is completely healthy. 2022, he was playing beat up for a good chunk of that year. He did take 45 sacks in 15 starts, which is not a good number. I do think that some of that was too much drop on him.
The sacks, and then I also get a lot about the fumbles.
Yep.
Those things are brought up a lot because that would be the opposite of what Mike Tomlin wants. That would be how he would ruin the Mike Tomlin system is if you're going to get sacked and fumble a lot.
Yeah, I'd say that the three knocks are the sacks, the fumbles, which those change games. Those happen when you try to play from a pocket type of a system. And that's not Russ. Russ is also not a great RPO type quarterback. That's not his jam. He gets a lot of balls. And the third thing that I'd say is he gets a lot of balls batted down at the line of scrimmage. Well, what do you got to do? You got to run the football. You got to run outside zone. You got to run power. And then you have all of your play action and bootleg naked game to move the pocket for Russ.
Which the Steelers do, and they can do. Yeah, yeah. Najee had a great year last year.
You have a tremendous two-headed monster, I believe, in the backfield between, you know, Jalen Warren, who was with me at Utah State in 2019 with Jordan Love. Yeah. And then also Najee Harris, who I tried to recruit unsuccessfully to Notre Dame when I was there from Pittsburgh High School in Antioch, California. That's a tremendous two-headed monster in the running back room. And you have a great defense that creates takeaways. This is going to be a great fit. And I don't even think, personally, from my perspective, a healthy Russ, a Russ with a chip on his shoulder. And then the biggest one that's not getting talked about enough is that Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph didn't have any experience in the postseason winning games and leading victories in those meaningful plays that require your team to advance in the playoffs. Russell Wilson's done that. Russell Wilson's done that throughout his career. He's been a postseason performer. Is he perfect? No. Is he a top 10 quarterback right now? I don't believe that. But all that I think the Steelers need to make some form of a run in the postseason is for Russell Wilson to be a top 15 quarterback and then play opportunistic football when it counts. And where I see Russ's greatest strengths, Mike, is the off-schedule plays. They lead to touchdown passes inside the red zone. And that was the name of the game for the Broncos in their 5-game win streak. And you can't put enough emphasis on what he did in that stretch of the season. It was the off-schedule playmaking and with a receiving core that had zero deep threats. I mean, Jerry Jeudy has been a non-existent factor for the Broncos. Right. Cortland Sutton is not a on-schedule elite receiver, but frankly, you know, you saw a synergy created on the second play between Russell Wilson and Cortland Sutton. And it led to 26 touchdowns to only 8 interceptions.
I was going to say, some do argue, and it's true. I mean, this is true that stats can sometimes be misleading. You can throw a little dumper and have a receiver take it 90 yards, then you're getting a touchdown pass. You didn't really do anything there. That's true, but it's still hard to argue that 26 TDs, 8 interceptions is trash, which is what the perception of Russell Wilson sometimes is out there nationally, or some feel he is, that he's just garbage and totally washed up. You don't get those numbers on pure accident. And there was an improvement as well. And then we see what Denver Broncos were without Russell Wilson as well. So it does feel like it's an upgrade. And when you're even talking about Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph, obviously the Duck Hodges era, that was so bad, even though they did kind of weirdly win there. And then prior to that, the end of Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers probably have not had a quarterback to even this level in 5 years or so, because Ben was immobile at that point. Now, it'll be interesting if the Steelers do what you're saying, and I imagine they will when you bring in Russ, but if you've noticed, Kenny Pickett was an RPO guy. He was a guy that would kind of draw it up in the dirt in college at Pitt when they won the ACC. The Steelers did that a little bit early on, and then it seemed like they realized, well, Kenny Pickett can't do that at the NFL level, and they pulled back and made him a manager. It didn't work out with Matt Canada and him, and we didn't get to see much of Kenny Pickett without Matt Canada. Because you're talking about the struggles you don't even want to watch when Matt Canada was the OC. No Steeler fan wanted that either. Most people wanted him fired earlier than he was. But then he got hurt soon after they got rid of Matt Canada. And Mason did pick up his game a little bit without Matt Canada in there. So it will be interesting to me, I guess, what the competition is like. If it is a true one. If they let them both kind of cook. If they make Kenny Pickett more of the manager, but they let Russ cook. What Russ is going to be running, because if it's Denver Russ, that might be a little bit different than what Kenny Pickett was running with the Steelers last year, even though they can do the version with Russ with the Broncos and have that ability. So that'll be very, very interesting what that situation is. But you got to think Russ is going to win that job. You got to think he wouldn't be there if he didn't think he could win that job. He didn't think he had a chance at that job, and that he's the better player. I mean, Kenny Pickett, 13 TDs, 13 picks in 2 years, even though with Matt Canada, those 2 years, and we saw Russ's numbers just last year.
Well, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I mean, he just hired an offensive coordinator who also has been humbled, right? I mean, he was a head coach.
Arthur Smith, right.
Yep. And Arthur Smith, and everybody talks about Arthur Smith, his offense, which I don't think there's enough sample size. This isn't a guy that's been an offensive coordinator like Sean Payton and a head coach play caller for 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, there's not enough sample size to say exactly who Arthur Smith is as a play caller, but a lot of people say that he loves the, you know, the similar style to Sean Payton of throwing intermediate routes, short, quick, you know, quick passing game, balls across the middle. If you're Mike Tomlin, you just flat out mandate that we're going to run the football to win. And then you're going to allow a guy like Russell Wilson, whose body type is built to be able to hold up in the National Football League. Kenny Pickett's is not. It's already proven out. Russell Wilson doesn't miss starts. He misses very few starts because of injury. Over
the course of small hands thing. Because that's the joke too. Yeah.
Russell Wilson does not have small hands. He has pretty big meat hooks for a guy that is not very tall. But I do think that that is the style of offense you have to play. And frankly, that's the style of offense that's going to work for the Steelers and how they're built. And if I think that the keys to making Russ work in Denver was to sell out to that same style. And Sean Payton just flat out didn't want to do
it. They didn't want it to work. I think that's the difference. I think the difference also is going to be Mike Tomlin is invested in this working. They are kind of sick of getting in and crawling in or being just out and not winning playoff games. It has been a while, even though Tomlin is still there. I don't think from covering him for years that Mike Tomlin is looking to deal with this 9-10 win situation for 5 years from now. I don't think he wants to coach at 70 years old. He does love this, but I think they want to get this turned around where there is some difference. They realize they could seize the day and there's talent there. Whereas Sean Payton, conversely, we talked about it. It felt like he never wanted to do this with Russ. For better or worse, he didn't want to do this with Russ. So he would rather do it with somebody else and, you know, force the breakup, however he can make that breakup happen. It's almost like, you know, you're in a marriage you want to get out of, the wife won't let you out, so you're just not going to come home until 6 a.m. and just try to get yourself out of there and piss her off. That's kind of what it felt like what Sean Payton was doing. A little different situation with Mike Tomlin, but conversely, Mike Tomlin, not an offensive guy. So we will figure out a lot about Arthur Smith now, if he can save Russ's career, if he can fix Kenny Pickett somehow, what happens there, because Arthur Smith, you would imagine, going to be heavily involved in the offensive game plan here. He's more of the offensive coach than Mike Tomlin is. Now, and it also, I think part of this is, and you mentioned the Steelers being the perfect fit. Do you think it was just system and the fit stylistically, or was part of this for you, because this is kind of where it was the perfect fit for me? The options were bring back Mason Rudolph, but you would need a new contract and a lot more money coming his way because of the value he did increase at the end of last year. Kirk Cousins, we saw the money he was getting. They weren't going to do that. That's big money. Justin Fields, the 50-year option, having to trade a couple picks. They don't want to do that. It felt like that once the Broncos were going to be in a situation where they're paying $39 million, they release them. They let them talk to teams ahead of the deadline, and you'd only have to sign the guy to the veteran minimum. That's also the perfect marriage. This is low risk. If Russ goes back to 2022, Russ and Sierra's around all the time, you just cut bait.
Yeah, before we, I mean, Sierra, I will say, like, she's his wife, right? And wives do they come to practice. So I don't, sure. I think that was, when I talk about the Russ and Sierra show, it was more just coming into Denver, opening up boutique stores in the DIA airport. Like, there was just, it was more about just like too much too soon. You know what I'm saying? I think it's less about Sierra showing up to practice. That's his wife. You know, in the mother of his children too, you know I mean? So
she should be allowed to go like anybody else.
She wasn't a problem. It was more about just the celebrity nature of the two of them coming into town that I think just rubbed some people the wrong way initially. Okay. But why going back to why I think this is such a good fit is I think that right now that with the Pittsburgh Steelers are a playoff roster with what I would call bottom five quarterback play in the National Football League.
And they were a playoff team with bottom five quarterback play. True.
And so you can't argue that Russ is not a bottom five quarterback in the National Football League. And you mentioned earlier, and I want to dispel the notion of, you know, sentiments that might exist out there that stats, touchdowns to interception could be misleading. They can be misleading if you have an elite receiving core around you, or you have a running back that can take it and go the distance on a screenplay. You name one player from the Broncos last season or the year before that was a throw the ball 5 yards and he's going to get you 60. They haven't had that guy. I can guarantee any fantasy listeners right now, you wouldn't want to draft any of the Denver Broncos receivers of the last two seasons. Like, those guys created zero value after catch.
And maybe George Pickens can.
You have those guys in-house right now. Your top two receivers in Pittsburgh are way better than what was going on in Denver between Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy for these last two seasons. So I do think that there's going to be some opportunity for some run after catch that Russ hasn't had in Denver. And I do think that with the nature of the Steelers right now being a playoff team, like we're showing up to the playoffs. That's who we are. Even in a very tough division, I think the Steelers will be better than the Browns in 2024. I really do. I think the Ravens are going to continue to do what the Ravens do. But I think even with that being said, all you need now is to think about how can you go win in the playoffs?
Yeah. And you do it because it's been where they get in and then have no chance in that game.
Because Kenny, frankly, and I know there's a lot of people from the Pittsburgh area that love Kenny Pickett from his college career.
It's polarizing for sure. Yeah.
But the reality of Kenny Pickett is he's never done that. He's never produced on a massive stage really in his entire football career. He's had some moments where, you know, he makes the wild plays and he's the gutty performer.
I mean, the ACC title is what people would bring up. That's what people would say.
Let's be honest about the state of the ACC. I mean, at the time that he won the ACC title. I would just go to the fact that Russell Wilson is a proven commodity in the postseason, and you just need to take that next right step. And I've been saying on the Denver airwaves here, and a lot of people don't like when I say this, but just what I know about football, what I know about the way the Steelers are built, and what I know about Russ is that I think that it's going to be an 11-plus win regular season for the Steelers, and I think they're going to win a playoff game, maybe two. And I think that's a realistic possibility for the Steelers team. And guess what? They're going to allow for they have the opportunity for another franchise, who, by the way, is on their schedule in the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, they are.
To flip the bill of $37.8 million potentially get better. Like, that's an absolute that's gift. How is it polarizing in Pittsburgh? Yeah. It can't be. I mean, you have the ultimate sweetheart deal.
You wouldn't think it would be. I mean, I think part of the reason why it's polarizing is because of the narrative that was set by a franchise punting a guy willing to pay all that money and getting in cap hell to screw their franchise just to get rid of him. Whether that's a personality thing, whether it's Sean Payton didn't want him, whatever happened, maybe there are some who argue they shouldn't even have got into the business in the first place. And once they couldn't get Rodgers, they just wanted a big name and it never was going to work. But whatever the case may be, that I think is where the narrative comes from. I think that's why it's polarizing, that people just cannot understand that a Hall of Fame coach was willing to get in cap hell to get rid of a guy in the room. Like, you would think he'd at least let him be a backup and not get in cap hell. But that is what they did. From what you're saying, it just conventional wisdom says that not only is it an upgrade, but the bar is not that high to be an upgrade, 100%. Quite frankly. Yeah, the bar is not that high to be an upgrade, but it is an upgrade. This isn't Russ with Seattle, but it's still an upgrade. And even if it's not, it's a veteran minimum low risk deal. So if Russ does the 2022 Russ things all of a sudden, and it is really, really bad, you're not going to get into the screw cap hell that the Broncos are in because you're not investing that much. They just will continue to foot the bill on what's not working out for you. So, but if he has an 11 win season, the Steelers win a playoff game they haven't done in a while, and the Broncos go nowhere, and you win that game and you put up them numbers, I mean, Russ could be cooking right back to the Hall of Fame trajectory. He's 35. He's still got some years you would figure left if he starts playing well. We've seen a lot of players, from Kurt Warner to Peyton Manning to Brady, players of that level, that second turn really can be great. Certainly if you have enough around you as a team. You mentioned Manning. You got to have the team around you that pick him up even when he was struggling. Maybe the Steelers have a better system around him, better support, etc. And you don't also think, because we talked about this a little bit, you don't think any of the personality that comes with Russ, because it does, not talking Sierra Hare, that's his wife, but just even him, will be a problem with the Steelers knowing Tomlin, knowing Russ. There are some that argue that this personality fit, you mentioned blue-collar Pittsburgh, blue-collar Denver, that's not going to work either. And if we go to week three and they lose a tough game and Russ does the thing where, like, some call him fake, to put it bluntly, that he is just always positive, that he did lunges on an airplane. Like, if he's doing lunges on an airplane and they just lost by 20, that's going to start pissing off the locker room, which some say happened in Denver. Do you feel like any of that could occur? Or do they need to win to avoid it? Or you don't think that'll happen at all?
A lot of just following Russ, and we make fun of Russ on the air all the time.
He's a cornball.
Frankly, what we make fun of him for is that after every game, especially after every game of the five-game win streak, all he does in his post-game press conference is praise everybody else around him. And he does it consistently, and he's done that throughout his career. In the Pittsburgh media, just be prepared to put some dramatic music in the background of his press conferences, because he truly does. And I think that's authentic. I think that's genuine. I think he loves the guys around him.
Okay, there are people that think that's fake. Okay,
I did too. But he consistently did it, and he never deviated from it. And frankly, when it was announced that he was going to be, cut from the Broncos and they were going to eat that cap, I mean, the responses from the locker room on Instagram and Twitter, all the players that are on the Broncos, it came from a place of extreme respect and love. And it wasn't there was absolutely nothing said with regards to him being a bad teammate. He is a great teammate. He is a 100% glasses is all full. It's not half full. It's all full.
Almost too full. I feel like it's overflowing. I think it might be where the annoyance comes in.
Over time, I really believe that's who he is. And I think he believes in the power of positive thinking to encourage those around him to build up their confidence. And yes, it does come across corny to media members, but I'll say this, after covering him for 18 weeks this past season, and hearing his post game conferences and us replaying him every Monday on the air here on Altitude Sports Radio, that's who he is, man. And so I think there is some authenticity to even how much he heaps praises, in the direction of his teammates.
If he's authentic, I think then he will be respected by fans and media. If it comes across fake, and part of why that's brought up is not even just the Denver tenure. He was accused of being a little fake by some former Seattle Seahawks teammates on their podcast towards the end. They kind of alluded to that. So, and that was after success and being there a decade, but, and you know, different things there on who got credit for things. I think those players kind of felt like they didn't get enough credit for the winning, 'cause it was a young QB, and QBs always get credit for things. This is how it is. But we'll see what he's like with the Steelers. This is probably a different Russ, though. The guy that had a ring and was a 9-time Pro Bowler with Seattle probably had an ego that I don't think the Steelers Russ is going to have. Because, again, a team just humbled him. And I've said this, too. And I'm not trying to mean this as shade to Sean Payton, because I've been around him and I also do like him a lot as well. I've been in the back room of bars in Indy with him. And he's a really, really good dude you can have a beer with. But the way Russ was treated in Denver is a way that, even if you don't think Russ is a Hall of Famer, but he's a 9-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champion, players at that accomplished level usually don't get treated that way. Even if they're struggling, usually there's some way where you can try to be nice and find a way to get them somewhere else, or you at least don't yell at them on national TV and, you know, berate them on the side. Like, Sean's a smart guy. He knew what he was doing.
100%. I mean,
that is, Hall because of Famers do not have that image. That is an embarrassment for Russ.
Mike, I think that coming off the 2022 debacle, Nathaniel Hackett's already gone. So you can't really throw too many more grenades in the direction of Nathaniel Hackett. But you know, this is a crazy fan base. I mean, you could even see from the combine the amount of Denver area media that show up. I mean, this is a very well-covered fan base. I think it was even a surprise to Sean Payton to see the increase in media coverage and interest across the entire state of Colorado and the Denver Metro compared to his time in New Orleans. Like, that was an 100% adjustment. But I do think that Russ was the remaining public enemy number one coming off the 2022 debacle. And don't think for a minute that Sean Payton didn't realize that and know exactly what he was doing, to your point, and wanted to make sure that the blame was shifted and allowed him to buy some time to build this thing in his image, which we'll see if that ever happens. Right now, I have my doubts.
Yeah, and it's also very, very different, because with the Saints, as history will tell you, winning one ring there and getting close to another championship appearance, that Saints tenure, Sean Payton and Drew Brees, some could argue they might even have underachieved a little bit with talent, even though they did win a title. But for the Saints franchise, going back to when they were the Aints and with Archie Manning, that is going to be celebrated forever. Sean Payton will be a god there forever, no matter what happens with the Broncos, forever. You go, New Orleans is one of my favorite towns to visit, man. You go there, there are real and mock statues of Sean Payton and Drew Brees. This is one ring, and not that one ring isn't big time, but one ring with the Saints is treated like six anywhere else, and they're going to celebrate that forever. Denver, You had John Elway. You had the Peyton Manning run. Yeah, there's been some dark times.
Yeah, you have the Orange Crush defense back in the 70s.
I mean, this is a proud franchise. They're not going to do that. Right. Shannon Sharp.
I'd say just in terms of like the respect of the organization historically is not on the level maybe of the Steelers, but in that conversation where it's had a lot of success right now, it doesn't seem like it. It's been a debacle since the end of the Peyton Manning era.
Yeah. So like if Sean Payton's going to be associated with one of the darker times in the history of the Bronco franchise, which has had a lot of success, that will be a stain on, if he doesn't turn this around with the Broncos, Bronco fans aren't going to care about winning that Super Bowl with the Saints. No, they're going to look at Sean Payton
they don't care right now. They could care less.
No, they're going to look at it as a failure.
It was a different era of the National Football League. It's a different style of game. I mean, the advent of the mobile quarterback who plays the second play, that's something I think Denver fans right now realize that Sean Payton might not fully embrace and fully, acclimate to, which, I mean, you look at the draft right now. I mean, all these quarterbacks are second play players, and that's exactly who Russ was, and that's exactly who Sean didn't want running his offense. And so that's what's playing out in real time here in Denver.
Mike, I definitely appreciate the time, man. I could talk all day with you. I do want to get you out of here just quickly because you're a former quarterback. You coached a long time. You mentioned how polarizing the Kenny Pickett conversation is, and it is because, yeah, he was a Pitt player. They drafted him, and I said this. I wasn't even that excited for the draft. It was the only first-round QB taken there. I know for a fact they fell in love with him. They didn't think he was going to be there. Once he was there, they couldn't avoid him. They got into this mess with him now. I didn't think it was going to be what some fans thought it would be, but there are a lot of Pitt fans that'll blame the Steelers forever if it doesn't work out. We mentioned off the air, the market also has a lot of Penn State and West Virginia fans that honestly don't want a Pitt quarterback to be the guy. So it is very polarizing, whether that's fair or not. I always try to communicate where you went to college shouldn't matter with the Steelers, guys. We got to move on, but the fans won't. So I want to get from you, what do you really think of Kenny Pickett as a pro? What do you think of his pro prospects, regardless of this Russ situation, which is an improvement and likely he's the starter? Do you think Pickett can have a successful career in the NFL, whether it's with the Steelers or not? Where are you analyzing Kenny Pickett as a player, trying to put a sound mind on and not one way of a lunatic bin or another?
I loved Kenny Pickett at Pitt. I'm not going to lie. I loved his playmaking ability. I loved his grit. I loved his tenacity. I will say this, though, in terms of just his raw physical attributes at the pro level, which you have to take a massive step up. And I think that the conversation is similar to that of Bo Nix, where you see him at a combine setting and he just lacks the physical attributes to be a first round talent. I think the same thing held true with Kenny Pickett. And I think that the best comp that I can have of who I think Kenny Pickett is, I think he was overvalued initially as a first-round draft pick. I think he's overvalued as a franchise-type starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that's played out in real time. I don't think we need to try to make any excuses for Kenny Pickett because, frankly,
you don't buy into the Matt Canada excuse because you mentioned he didn't even want to watch with the system. That's what people will say that'll defend Pickett, that he only got a game and a half without Matt Canada in the NFL.
Yeah, and I would say this. I know Matt Canada. I thought Matt Canada was a tremendous offensive coordinator in the college ranks. Sometimes it translates, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know everything that went into it. I have no idea. I know it wasn't pretty to watch. But frankly, I think that part of it was also the fact that Matt Canada didn't have an elite quarterback, not anywhere near an elite quarterback. And so my best comp, my best comparison for what I see in Kenny Pickett's future as a quarterback is Gardner Minshew. I think that he has that type of gutty playmaking ability where if he's brought in as a backup quarterback, he could have success. He could be a guy that gives it a little shot in the arm energy-wise. But in terms of being a day one starter for a National Football League team, as proud as the Pittsburgh Steelers are, he just doesn't possess the natural traits, both athletically, size, and arm talent, to be that type of a player. And I think Russell Wilson throws a much better deep ball. I think Russell Wilson has been in the hard moments of a tough career, at being at the heights of being one of the top three quarterbacks in the National Football League at different points of his career. I just don't think that there's a comparison right now. And I'm not on Team Russ. I'm not mad the Broncos moved on from him. I really am not. And the reason I'm not mad is because, frankly, Russell Wilson and Sean Payton were flat out never going to work out.
It was never going to work out. Anymore. Get rid of Sean Payton. Right.
Like, you're it was not going to work out. And you could see that from the minute it all transpired. It was never going to work out. And it, what people want to say, it was a clash of personalities. Frankly, I think that Sean Payton didn't like Russell Wilson. I don't think he liked his skill set. I don't think he liked that he was a second play player. He wanted him to play within the first play that Sean Payton designed the play to work for. And Russ liked to go outside and color outside the lines a little bit. And I think that's the game nowadays. And if you have a dominant ground game, you can get away with that. And I think that's what Russell Wilson is going to bring to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, and like he had with Beast Mode in Marshawn Lynch with Seattle, his best years when he was younger, like he could now have with the Steelers. And you could argue in the midst there in the middle, not as much. So maybe it's as simple as that, as giving him a running game and giving him some help around him. And yeah, for better or worse, I don't think it was ever going to work out with Sean Payton. Maybe the rest, you know, the two of them will have fine legacies away from each other and Russ can fix things. But together, that was just never going to work. And maybe Russ has been humbled, or it'll work out personality-wise with the Steelers, but we will see, because there's even a conspiracy theory out there for some that think Russ, okay, he's good enough that beating him out will look good, but he's not, Pickett could still have a chance to beat him out.
I don't see that happening. Okay. I really don't. Yeah. I just don't think that Kenny Pickett, I don't think he possesses either the experience at the high levels that you need to win in the postseason, nor the physical attributes to be a true proven number one quarterback for an NFL franchise. Like I said, as proud as the Steelers are.
Yeah. And a franchise is hungry to finally win a playoff game. It's been a while. A franchise that has talent, that there are some veterans there that are sick of this, Cam Hayward and company. I mean, they don't want to just keep getting in and one and done. So I think there's a hunger now to get this done. You got a quarterback that, it's like house money. It's vet minimum, former Super Bowl champion, 9-time Pro Bowler. It could not work out. It could. Why not try? It is an incredible upgrade from Kenny Pickett. And I also, I had a colleague bring this up on his show, and I think this is perfect as we kind of end with this. I think part of the perception of Pickett comes down to even how the coaches speak about him. And we'll see if you like this as a former coach. You hear Mike Tomlin praise everybody, and all coaches do, whether it be your coach or an opposing coach. When they talk about Kenny Pickett, it's always tons of moxie. He's really energetic. He's a galvanizer. That's the phrase that I love that's always said by coaches. He galvanizes the troops. It's like we're in a movie. He galvanizes the troops. When you're talking about Russell Wilson or a lot of these other quarterbacks that have had success to that elite level, it is about the arm strength, about the deep ball, about what they can do to command an offense, about, you know, what type of offense works for them, about them being throwers of the football or a true athlete like Lamar Jackson, who also can throw a great deep ball. Those things that are traits of a QB is football IQ, ability to audible, ability to do RPOs, ability to go outside and color outside the lines and still have success and make a new play. You don't hear those things with Pickett by NFL coaches, even some college coaches. It's always about the moxie and the galvanizing. Right there, that to me, I'm not a coach, but that's a sign right there that they don't have the traits. They know he doesn't have the traits. They're trying to be nice, and they're throwing these other phrases out there that are intangibles, but you got to have some tangible things too.
Well, I think the term galvanizer is used to describe a quarterback that's leading a team that's not doing very well, because you have to galvanize and rally the troops. And you knew that sounds like, it sounds like a Gardner Minshew comp, which once again, I go back to, it sounds like the perfect backup quarterback for an NFL franchise. But the problem is the investment there as a first round quarterback has already been made. And he doesn't match that from a talent perspective. I really believe that. And I do like Kenny Pickett. And I think he is going to have his, he's going to have his time in the sun. And I think it's going to be on borrowed time as a backup quarterback or somebody getting him on the cheap. And then him doing some Baker Mayfield type things, doing Gardner Minshew type things. I just don't think he's as talented as Baker Mayfield was, you know, even as that guy that didn't pan out in the first contract.
I think people also forget it took Kenny Pickett until his fifth year in college to be an elite college player. Pitt fans didn't like him early in his career. It took him a while to get going, even at Pitt. No shade. It's your Heisman candidate at Pitt. It's a big deal. You win the ACC. But it wasn't right away. It wasn't instantaneous success. You knew right away, this is a guy that could be a pro, that could be a Heisman candidate. It took years to get there. So that goes back to, again, the Gardner Minshew type of comp. And he's got multiple contracts on multiple playoff teams, big games. If that's the career, it's a good career for sure. It might even be best for Pickett to get out of Pittsburgh, get away from where he played in college, get somewhere where it's not going to be as polarizing and your perception can be normal rather than you're the Heisman guy from the college team in your market. You're not playing pro ball. You could argue that maybe that would be a blessing in disguise for him, but sure.
The last thing I would say is if you're looking at from a Broncos perspective, both media, fan base, and I can't speak to their front office or their coaching staff because I don't have any conversations with them. But, you know, if you look at your two quarterbacks from the 2022 season, 23 season at Pittsburgh, you know, Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett, Broncos fans in replacing Russell Wilson would not be happy if either one of those guys were the quarterback of the future here in Denver. And I think that that's, and I think there still is a part of the fan base, and especially as the fan base from the Broncos watches the Steelers play in the 24 season. And I think there's going to be some success with Russell because of his style of play, matching a great run game. I think that there's going to be some regret about how the whole thing was handled situationally here with Russ.
Yeah, I think that's something that I think everyone will admit, even if it's years from now, even Sean Payton will admit it in some interview in the future that, okay, the marriage was never going to work. You need to part ways. You know, if you're a coach or you're a quarterback or you're the guy in charge here, if I'm going to win or lose, I want to do it my way. I get that even professionally. I want to do it my way, but it wasn't handled well. You can do it your way without having to treat someone like trash. And I do think kind of Russ was handled that way. Maybe it was partly his fault early on, but yeah, we know where the comments were coming from. We know where the leaks were coming from. We know what was going on the sidelines. Like, we know what was going on. We know who's in charge. Like, I think all of that could have been handled a different way than it actually was. But it was handled that way, and maybe it's actually lit a fire under Russell Wilson. And maybe he wouldn't have worked with the Steelers and Tomlin if he wasn't humbled in the first place. Maybe the Steelers probably would never brought him in if it was $20 million for the former Super Bowl champion. They brought him in because it's a vet minimum. So maybe this all will work out as a blessing in disguise. It could still happen for Russ. Mike, I appreciate the time for sure. Mike Sanford here, former Boise State quarterback and coach, and does some media up there in Denver. Anything you want to plug, man, before I let you go?
Yeah, just here in Denver, Altitude Sports Radio on that and the airwaves here, and Nine News, like you said, NBC, and then VSiN, which is a tremendous new platform over the last few years. I'm on every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time. So tune in, and I'll continue to give my best expertise from the perspective of a coach, which I think is very different. You know, having been an offensive coordinator at, you know, major Power Five programs, and learning a lot both through success and failure. So I feel like I have a unique perspective, and I love offering it to educate fans, at least from the perspective I have, which I've been watching very carefully for the first time in my career, because I've now had time to do so and watch the National Football League.
Yeah, you're able to probably watch more now that you're not coaching than when you're coaching. You're just watching your team and your players, and you don't give a damn really outside. Wait,
all you're watching, you're just, literally as a college football coach, you're spending all your time on just the opposing defense that you're about to face. So, I mean, there might be an NFL game on the background, and really all you see are logos. You don't get to watch any plays. I got to get back to it.
I'd imagine. Yeah. And you also showed yourself a little bit short there. You had some time as an interim head coach, right?
So I've been a head coach twice. I was a head coach at Western Kentucky at 34 years old. Got fired after 2 years. So I was the youngest head coach in Division I football, and then the youngest fired head football coach in Division I football. And then I was able to, I was the offensive coordinator, like I said, at Notre Dame. I was the offensive coordinator at Minnesota, Utah State, Boise State. And then Colorado. And then when Carl Durrell was let go, I took on the challenge of being the interim head coach for one of the tougher spots in the time that we were in with the portal kind of ravaging our roster in 2022. So it's been a lot of
Deion Colorado.
Although we actually ended up, the crazy thing about it, last season, the Buffs had 4 wins. But we actually ended up in 2022 with a better final position in the conference standings in the Pac-12 than the CU Buffs in 2023 did. I think we ended up like tied for 10th, and last year they were dead last. So we'll take it.
Okay. Because you were 1-11, right?
The game I took over was we actually played Cal, and that was our lone win. Was against Cal at home, and. Okay. Field storming, all the fun.
And
then the funny thing is that our last four games of my interim career as the head coach at CU We're against Caleb Williams in the Coliseum. We're against Bo Nix in Oregon, Michael Penix Jr. up in Seattle, and then Cam Rising in Utah. So that was our final four games. So, hey, go get him, kid. You got this.
Yeah. It was like, oh man, kid, here's the opportunity. Go ahead and try to figure all this out. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll say this too. Just one last little plug of those four. Yeah. There was one quarterback that scared the living daylights out of me as an opposing head coach on the sideline that made me feel helpless. And it was Michael Penix Jr. And that's from my own personal experience of coaching against those three guys, particular that are at this draft class. Nobody throws a football down the field like Michael Penix Jr. and threads the needle in tight windows, which is required of a National Football League quarterback. Kenny Pickett, not that guy. And frankly, Russell Wilson, I don't think he's that type of player, that drop back, thread the needle. I think that Russell Wilson is a really good second play quarterback that will be phenomenal in a run heavy offense. And so if I know Mike Tomlin's not listening. I know Arthur Smith's not listening, but sure, the lessons I learned from watching this past year in Denver, commit to that run game, commit to playing phenomenal defense, and then let Russ play on the bootlegs, the naked game, the play action game, and let him cut it loose in the red zone. Because that's where he had his success, is playing the second play when the first play wasn't open. And he did some phenomenal things in that space, which it's going to be a big upgrade over Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, your humble opinion, my humble opinion. I wanted to get your takes on here as a former coach that I couldn't give. I definitely think that makes tons of sense in terms of low risk. It's an upgrade already with Russell Wilson, as I will say that, yeah, Mike Tomlin's not listening to this, Arthur Smith's not listening to this, but I have had some texts from people that work with the Steelers that heard different things or like, hey, so feel free to pass it on to Coach Tomlin.
Run the rock, play old school Pittsburgh Steeler defense.
Yeah, and then there was a whole thing last year, too, of Mike Tomlin may or may not lie to us constantly in press conferences. But either way, he has Russell Wilson there, and it's an upgrade, and we will see how that goes. It's going to be very, very interesting. The Steelers are looking like a very, very interesting team, to say the very, very least. But we probably could do a whole nother show on your coaching career. I might even do that at some point in the future on from Boise State to your career. Certainly at the end of if you were reading any tea leaves or hearing anything about Dion and how that went on and the perception there and your time in Notre Dame. And
Deion Sanders is one of one. I was around him for a week, and he was 100%. Tremendous to me, treated me phenomenally well, but he's going to do things his way. That's the bottom line. He doesn't want to do it conventionally. Nobody's going to tell him to do it conventionally. And he flipped an entire roster over and had a massive win in the season opener against TCU.
He did. And then didn't go so well after that, but he brought in the Louis, as he said in his opening press conference. I'm bringing in
more Louis came in, man. The roster continued. There's been a lot of roster purging here in the Denver metro area. I'll say that both between the Broncos and the CU Buffs.
Maybe Russell Wilson is considered the Louis. Sierra's going to bring in some Louis, I'm sure, to Pittsburgh. We'll see if the Broncos can get any Louis as a quarterback here in the future, because they've had some in the past with Peyton Manning, John Elway, etc. But it's been a while. So we'll see if they can get any Louis, and Colorado is going to be needing to retool the Louis there, the offensive line, to help out Dion and company there coming up. But Mike, I definitely appreciate the time. We'll definitely be talking to you again sometime soon. And we could do a whole show on your career. Some things you told me off the air about certain tenures I also really enjoyed, but we'll leave that for another program. But thanks, man.
Hey, appreciate it, Mike. Great being on.
Absolutely. Again, Mike Sanford, former Boise State quarterback and longtime coach. He mentioned where he coached. That includes some Rose Bowl appearances, Fiesta Bowl, some success there with some major programs. He can drop you the knowledge as a former coach, as a guy who studied opposing teams, quarterbacks, offenses, a guy who coached offenses, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and who played quarterback at a high major level in college. Yeah, they weren't a major program at the time in Boise State, but that was building it up to be that team that eventually beat Oklahoma and shocked the world. And then we see now where mid-majors are in college football. Some have kind of been promoted to major conference level, even though not Boise State. So he did some things back in the early 2000s with Boise State, and then now a part of media up in the Denver area there. And Russell Wilson leaving the Broncos for the Steelers. The Broncos and Russ having a really, really messy divorce. And will this be a happy marriage for the Steelers? Major question mark. Very, very polarizing on both sides. So I'm glad I got to talk with him and get his perspective, a perspective that I admittedly can't give. And most of you listening to this show can give. If you weren't a coach, if you weren't a quarterback, you can't give it. He can give on those two angles. So I wanted to get him on here to be able to fully talk what he thought of Russ with Denver, both under Nathaniel Hackett and Sean Payton. That whole debacle of a dumpster fire mess and divorce. And then now what he could bring to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he also does think it makes sense. He's a significant upgrade. And again, very, very low risk. If he was higher risk, they wouldn't have done it. So I think this all works out for the Steelers. What it'll mean for the Denver future of their franchise and Sean Payton and his legacy will be a whole nother question that I'll let Mike discuss on his airwaves, because they now are in cap hell as they got out of their divorce with Russ, as he is now in a relationship with the Steelers. Will it be a marriage, though? Right now, I feel like they're just dating. But I think he has a leg up to win that job. And if he doesn't, do you believe a conspiracy that they tried to put this together so Pickett could win a job? I don't. I think they want the best guy. They want to win a playoff game. And Russ is that best guy, probably the end of the line for Pickett as the guy. Great college career. Love the kid. Really, really nice kid. I'm rooting for him despite being a WVU alum. Don't get it twisted, guys. I do think he's a great kid. Covered him. I want him to do well. I'd love for him to have a great career. I think it's way too polarizing in Pittsburgh. This is exactly what I thought it would be when he got drafted by the Steelers. This is exactly why I didn't want it to happen. I don't think any of these college fan bases that are here in this nexus of the region can handle this properly. Maybe it would have been the same if it was a WVU quarterback and Pitt fans hating him. Sure, but it's this, and it's not worked out, and he's not improved enough. Yeah, you can blame Matt Canada. Sometimes when quarterbacks fail, it is the coach. There are other reasons. They have to be in a great system. I don't think he can overcome a bad system and bad coaching and elevate as much as maybe do it in the confines of what's there if there's talent. Maybe he can do more if he is given the opportunity, but I'd imagine Russ is going to win this job. Russ is going to be the guy. Russ, we'll see if he can get over Burrow and what the Browns are doing on defense, and maybe Watson picks up at QB, and then, of course, Lamar Jackson is MVP with the Ravens. They're the favorite again, I would guess. But the Steelers are in a much better position, at least for next season. Again, very low risk if it doesn't work out with Russell Wilson at quarterback. If he can even get close to what he was at the end of last year and he can be able to cook with this team around him and a coaching staff that wants him to succeed, then they would have been bringing back Mason Rudolph, paying him more money, bringing in somebody else they were never going to bring in, giving up draft picks, paying tons of money to a Kirk Cousins, or giving it to Kenny Pickett and making him the guy. Russ was the best realistic, lowest risk option for the Steelers. And that's who they signed. That's why he's a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it's a great situation for Russ as well. And we will see where the future of Russell Wilson as a Steeler takes them. And then the future of Sean Payton leading the Broncos. Because again, as Mike told you, the Denver fans are already upset and they do not care about Sean Payton's resume with New Orleans or the perception there. You got to get it done in Denver. There's a long history of success with that Bronco franchise at QB and other spots. What can Sean Payton do will now be the major question, because he put them in cap hell to get out of a marriage with a former Super Bowl champion, 9-time Pro Bowler. Didn't fit him. He had some down times. Russ certainly is not what he once was. He messed up plenty. But not many franchises would even have let a head coach run the ship the way Sean Payton is allowed to run this ship. And if it doesn't work out, this eventually got to go on Sean Payton, because, again, he screwed the rest of the team to kind of fix this with Russ. And who knows who's going to be their quarterback now, because I don't believe they have a better guy than Russ currently there or are going to bring in a better guy than Russ for this next season. Over-under on the Steelers being better than the Broncos, pretty safe bet in favor of Pittsburgh right now.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.